This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and I recently decided to give Sterling Soap Company's Ground Breakfast Blend coffee a try. While brewing, the aroma was inviting, and the taste? Lightly sweet and delicious, as the texture of this amazing coffee was sweet and smooth, as I experienced a coffee with a velvety texture, almost creamy. Sterling's breakfast blend is light but in no way weak, with a high quality taste and smell. My wife and I are now hooked on Sterling Soap coffee, and you should be too. Check out their coffees and other products at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
This is our league, and this is your league. Broadcasting from the 55-yard line in Japan to the shores of the Great White North and everywhere around the world on Gridiron America Radio and the Sports History Network.
Everybody, welcome to the first episode of our rebooted, what was the From the 55-Yard Line is now Gridiron America, and this is our first, what I consider our first actual episode as a group. Well, it is our first official group podcast for, I don't know, I'm thinking we could call our show The Wide World of Football. Gridiron America today. I don't know. We don't have a decision yet as to what it's going to be. Here we are. And yes, this is episode 50. For those who are counting, this is technically episode 51 of Gridiron America. You know, obviously most of our shows were under the old title, but here we are at episode 51. And it's Dave Selinsky. It's Mike Tackett, Greg James, myself. And, hey, we're just sitting around. We are here to talk football, and we're at what, week four of the UFL right now, entering week four of the UFL?
Week five.
Week five.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it goes, the UFL season goes by so quick. And last week I was interviewing both Upton Bell and Joe Zimba for the podcast. So I'm a little off. But also with that said, we've got the NFL draft coming this weekend. So there's a lot of football to talk about in a short amount of time. So, all right, guys, how you guys doing? I'm doing all the talking here and right now. How you guys doing?
Good. It's good to be back. Good to talk to you guys again.
You too.
Definitely. You too. And a lot happened too, besides just playing week four games and in the draft. We had trade galore across the UFL this past week.
And well, let me pull up the headlines here. Let's see the headlines from the UFL for the last couple weeks here. And I'm just going to kind of go with, we already talked about, week three and that. Let's see here. All right. So, well, UFL adding Cricket Wireless to a sponsorship. That's not news. And but the big thing is the trade that happened in the UFL. Dave, for those who don't know what's going on in the UFL or about the trade, go ahead and explain.
Well, I'll be honest, Mike, you're the one who sent this to me. So if you want,
I couldn't remember who sent it to me. So
Mike dropped the hammer. I'm like following along. All of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, we have trades. We were just talking about this a couple weeks ago. Will there be trades in the UFL? And it was just a question we had between the three of us. So Mike, please, I don't want to steal your thunder. You're the one that dropped it on us.
No, listen, it takes an army. I think there were a few big ones. The Spring King, Luis Perez getting traded. That took me by surprise. But for me personally, it was seeing Matt Corral getting traded to Orlando in exchange for DTR. Especially when the Orlando already has Jack Plumner, who's one of the league's best passers. So Corral was right behind him in almost every statistical category. So I think that's great for a competition standpoint. I would definitely make the argument that Orlando won that trade, but it was surprising to see Orlando give up so little and get so much in return. And again, Luis Perez getting another opportunity. What's not to love about that? So there were a lot of good trades. I think some teams got better, and some I would say got worse. I don't think anybody stayed the same.
I would agree 100%. The interesting one is Jason Bean getting traded from Louisville to DC for Mike DeLiello. I'm sorry, I probably butchered his last name, but obviously Louisville made the decision, and Chandler Rogers is going to be their quarterback going forward, and made a decision, you know what, just move on. So there's not any kind of, conversation going on later about if Rogers struggles at all. But the Matt Corral, it sense looking at that, him and AJ McCarron weren't on the same page. It just seemed like watching each other talking on the sidelines each week. It didn't seem like to me that they were meshing, maybe. But seeing Luis Perez getting a chance, and he's going to walk into St. Louis and start. I just don't see him not. I don't see St. Louis making that trade not to put him on the field immediately. It's just one of those things where I think Dallas was waiting to see what they could get for him, because obviously he was not going to play ahead of Austin Reed, who's earned every minute he's been on that field. And I don't know when the training deadline is, but they got an offensive tackle. Hopefully Corey Stewart can come in, step in, and help them out. And but it'll be great to see Perez back on the field. Like you said, Mike, he's a legend, and watching it's been interesting watching him on the sidelines, and you haven't heard anything from him. So he's been a good teammate in that aspect.
Yeah, and I think especially with somebody like Luis, who's been to every spring league, and then even his short stints in the NFL, that time that he's not playing and he's resting, I think for Luis, he really humbles himself. He evaluates what he's doing wrong, and he comes out hungrier than before. And I'm definitely excited to see how much of a turnaround he's going to help his new team.
And what else we got UFL news in terms of over there that I may have missed over here in Japan?
Everyone has a win now. There's no winless. There's no winless teams. And as Mike mentioned right before we went on air.
Yeah.
There's a four-way tie for fifth place.
yeah. I'm looking at that here. It's like, wow. But the thing is with the UFL this year, there are no divisions. So it's the top four teams. So it's different, traditionally, you could have a really, if you're a third place team with an awesome record, but in another division, the second place team has a shitty record, you're not getting in the playoffs. But we don't have that this year. No crossover.
Yeah, I think it's very, this year so far at least, it's very similar to what you see a lot of times in baseball. I mean, we're at the point, we're halfway done with the season already. Yeah. And really, games can swing either way. And I think it's going to, especially the next 2 weeks are going to be crucial. But all the way leading into week 10, it's going to really be crunch time. And you could see a team that's in seventh or eighth place in the standings squeeze into the final playoff spot. Or vice versa, you could see a team that's in make their way out of a playoff spot. So it's definitely exciting. I think that's what us as fans, we definitely want, especially come toward the playoffs. We want the best four teams, not based off of a technicality because of a division standing.
Okay. And in terms of – oh, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it really makes the Saturday night game on ESPN so much more intriguing with St. Louis going to Orlando. I mean, right off the bat, you have now Luis Perez starting, and Orlando maybe 4-0 and St. Louis 2-2, but seems like Luis Perez wins everywhere he goes. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's an incredibly competitive game. It's just St. Louis has a good receiving core, and if they can get themselves on the same page pretty quick, I'd watch out. It could be high flying game down there. There's a couple could be some good scores up there.
And you know, following off of what you said, Dave, in terms of ESPN ratings, how are the ratings? Have they fallen off? From what we talked about earlier, it doesn't sound like the ratings have fallen off. The attendance is holding steady, but the ratings are just as importantly, the ratings are actually not falling off as they have in past years.
It seems like they've been holding steady right along. I know the games on ABC have been drawing upwards of 900,000 people. The ESPN games have done well as well. Fox, it seems like all the channels they've been on, the numbers are holding steady or very close to week in and week out right through the season, which is great to see. Especially for me, the ABC games hitting right along close to 1 million people each game is fantastic, because as we move into the summer, traditionally more and more people have things to do.
Right.
It'll be interesting, but it's good to see through the first 4 weeks holding steady. So right. they're capturing that audience. They're getting people to tune in, stay, and come back each week, which is great to see, because in past years, great first week, and then it would just slowly slide down.
It would do a slow dive, and then somewhere along the line, it would do a nosedive, then come back up, and then kind of level out, kind of peter out towards the end. So, that's great to hear, because I know that's always been my big thing with spring leagues is, you know, fan apathy. They tune in, check it out, but then they don't come back to it. And it definitely sounds like, because we know the UFL has a built-in fan base, but you can't build a league with your small built-in fan base. I mean, the UFL, you know, the hardcore guys, I mean, it's a really small group. It's the average fan trying to get the average fan to watch. It's like trying to get the average fan to watch a baseball game. And unless you've grown up with those teams over the years, chances are you're not going to like readily tune in unless you stumble across it on the TV. Now, we live in a world now where everything's on demand. So you really have to cater. You really have to push your product, but network TV is still around. You know, network over the air TV is still around, and just having those games on, you know, ABC and Fox, you know, that's the only way they're going to, to me, that's my opinion, is the only way that they're going to sustain any growth and any visibility is keeping those games on free over the air. Of course, this is a league too that is financed by the network too. This is a network. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a financial incentive for all this too. So, but when it comes to, you know, we were talking about this prior to starting record, was talking about minor leagues and how do you get people to watch and how do you get people to tune in? Yeah, the only way I think you're going to grow as a league is if your product is easy to find. And obviously ESPN and Fox over in America, everybody's usually got access to those in one form or another. The key thing now is kind of moving forward is with streaming, because ESPN is going to, I think at some point, going to go to an all streaming model. But then I hear the financial news reports about, yeah, ESPN's having financial issues, yet they bought, it's really confusing to me is right now is, are any of these broadcast models sustainable? Because then I hear rumblings about ESPN having financial problems and laying people off, but yet they buy a portion of the NFL network. And I don't know, Dave, you probably more tuned into it than I am, but these are just things off the top of my head. When I look at ratings and hear talk, you know, about the sports business, that just like, okay, where are we headed to with sports and being able to watch it?
Well, with ESPN right now is they need everything they can get. They're with launching that $29.99 ESPN Unlimited.
I got that.
They need to be able to draw a large enough audience to be able to have them justify that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you will, within a few years, ESPNY probably won't be on YouTube TV or won't be on all the spectrums and all that stuff, because for $29.99, you'll get, if you're a wrestling fan, you'll get wrestling. If you're an NFL fan, you'll get the NFL football. If you're this fan, you'll get this. You get that. And that's what it is. It's ESPN basically calling themselves Spectrum or whatever, Cox Cable, whatever cable system you have in your area where you live. ESPN wants to become that cable system sports for you. So if you like all these different sports, hey, look, we have at any given moment a couple thousand games you can watch. And that's why you have that ESPN, the old ESPN 3 and all that, all these games, every college and stuff, where right now they're just trying to gobble it up to make that $29.99 work for people. And that's why you see them buying in that NFL, buying into MLB, and buying stakes into these leagues, because now they're getting a piece of that pie too. Like ESPN this year, if you want to buy MLB package, you can buy the MLB package, but you need ESPN first. So it's basically adding a layer of profitability or revenue generating for them, which honestly, until someone else figures it out, they are the leader in sports. You may like them, you may not like them. You might like Fox Sports does this better than ESPN they does, but if you want A, B, C, D, E, and F, that's how you get it.
Right.
And that's what you're going to find out, because I think WrestleMania really showed a lot of people where this is all going, because I think a lot of people mistakenly thought because they had ESPN, they were going to get WrestleMania.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, WrestleMania was only on ESPN Unlimited, not on ESPN.
Oh, okay.
So if you had it through your cable system or whatever, you had ESPN, you're thinking, all right, I got WrestleMania, I have ESPN. That was a pay-per-view unless you had ESPN Unlimited.
ESPN Unlimited, yeah.
They suckered people in for the first hour on WrestleMania on ESPN. Just as a little treat. That's how they get to.
You're done. You got to pay.
It's wild.
And I think that we're, history has always had a way of repeating itself, and I feel like right now, since just before the pre-COVID era, I think we're living in an era that's very similar to the dot-com boom that was in the late 90s. When it comes to respects to streaming, everyone's got a plus service, a plus streaming service. But really when it comes down to is the fans. Somebody actually did the math, and if you want every streaming service to watch an NFL season, it's going to be pretty expensive for upcoming year.
I saw that graphic. It's weird just how far we've come, from back in the days when we had analog, antenna over the air TV. And that's the thing, we still have over the air TV, but here's the problem. The technology for that is changing. So even if you have, like right now, a high def TV you can plug up to the aerial, like I have here and on this side of the world, at some point over in America, it's going to go from ATC 1.0, I think I got the acronym correct, to 3.0. And then that's going to make a whole generation or two generations of smart TVs basically obsolete, unless you get a converter and all that stuff, if you remember way back when we did the analog to digital conversion. So I don't know. I mean, I've talked about this at length, I know, with both of you guys offline, but just trying to figure out where everything is at, even when it comes to the UFL and our group chats. You guys are commenting about the game, and I'm like, dudes, where's the game at? NFL Network. I can access that. But when it's on Fox, and that's the other thing too, you've got Fox as the other major player. That's a whole nother subscription. So for like me, I got ESPN. Well, I'm watching the games if they're on ESPN, but if I don't have a Fox subscription or access to being able to watch it over the aerial, or unless somebody is kind enough to provide a pirate feed on YouTube, I'm not watching it. But there is one thing we can all pretty much watch for free in some ways, I guess, if you're paying for cable, is the NFL draft is coming up here and tomorrow. So this is kind of our pre-draft show. So we'll segue into that. I know Dave Dave really is kind of has no real thoughts about the has no real thoughts about this year's draft. What say you?
I will leave it with two sentences. I'm a bitter Buffalonian who is waiting for Brandon Bean to make a difference, and I'll continue to cheer on my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Go Bucs.
Okay. All right. Mike?
This is always a heartbreak time for some fans, and it's a marriage, a perfect marriage for other fans. Personally, I think the NFL draft is glorious, and I miss the way it used to be. Saturdays was rounds 1 through 3, and then Sunday was 4 through 7. I might be showing my age a little bit with that, but at least we're not at 15 or 16 rounds like it was way back when. But it's fun. I think, you know, the game, the draft's in Pittsburgh this year. So I say within 20 minutes, we'll see Pat McAfee and all the Yenzers in Pittsburgh doing their thing. But as far as from a talent standpoint, you know, and I am partial, of course, being from Central Ohio, but putting that to the side, I think there's a lot of talent coming out of the Big Ten this year. Indiana's quarterback is projected to go number one overall, rightfully
Shocker.
So.
Shocker.
Yeah. And then, you know, Ohio State, they're projected to have 4 guys in the top 10. So
yeah.
It's always interesting to see. I mean, there was just a huge draft a huge trade for the draft just a couple days ago. Cincinnati gave up, I believe it was a 9th overall pick to the Giants for Dexter Lawrence. So that just changed my whole mock draft, and I'm sure everyone else's as well. So that's the fun part about it. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. And, you know, I may not know every player's name that's called, but again, it's about the excitement of it and the pageantry that is the NFL draft.
Yeah. That's, you know, talking about the pageantry and everything, a couple things that, as you were saying that, several things popped into my head. excuse me, is the history of the draft. Obviously, for those who listen to this podcast know that I talked to Upton Bell last week, and you know, we're talking about his, you know, I've talked about him with his dad starting the NFL draft over the course of three episodes of prior podcast episodes, and just to see how much it has evolved over the years. And there is a great, I don't know if either of you guys have ever seen the NFL Films part documentary about the NFL draft, Caught in the Draft, and it truly is. It's truly worth watching and just spending. It's truly worth binging, I should say, because it is just fascinating. They start with 1964, go to 65, and then it's 74, 75, 84, 85, and then it might be 10 episodes now that I think about it. But no matter how many episodes it is, each one is a standalone, and each one is worth watching because it's a fascinating story. It's fascinating to see how much it's evolved. And of course, when NFL Films does something like that, they always do it right. And yeah, to me, the draft is I like the history of the draft to see who panned out, who didn't. And that to me is always the best part of the draft. Years later, looking at back, it's like, okay, why did this guy not work out? What were the reasons behind it? And to hear the other guys talk about who were, you know, Tom Brady. Best example is here's a guy that was drafted in, I even forget what round he was drafted in, but he was not a top draft pick. And just to see the hits and the misses, and yeah, to me, that's what I enjoy most about the draft. And I also enjoy the spectacle and the speculation too. So what do you guys think? Have you guys seen this document, the Caught in the Draft documentary?
I've seen some of it. I actually want, it's definitely on my to-do list. In spirit of draft week, I should probably start watching it. So, but I will just say, and then David, I'll give the floor to you. I will say I was born in 1988, but I will argue 1983 is by far still the best draft class ever.
Dave,
no argument for me on that. It was, but with the draft, personally, being from the Northeast, growing up a huge Bills fan, there was nothing better than watching the Jets pick in the first round.
Oh yeah.
And their fans go nuts with whoever they picked. It was must-see TV. Wherever the Jets drafted, it was like they picked the worst player of all time.
Yeah.
Every year. It was awesome. And ESPN knew it. or you had the cameras right on those group of guys, and they pick it. That's probably one of my favorite.
The Jets fans are so bad and infamous that when the draft was in Chicago, Channel 9 at WGN, their morning show, which is the best morning show anywhere, because it's just if you're from Chicago, I don't have to explain why, but the rest of the people that are watching, trust me, they do morning shows right. But the sports guy is from New Jersey. And so they did a whole comic bit about Jets fans in Chicago for the draft. And it was classic. And they, you know, again, the guy who, you know, the sports guy's from New Jersey, so he knew what he was talking about. And the rest of the crew, but yeah, no. But the Jets fans, yeah, that's a good point. They're part of the show, part of the spectacle. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, be nice to see the Jets actually winning the draft one of these days. But every time they fail, the rest of us are entertained.
And also, I always enjoy listening to Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper.
Who the hell is Mel Kiper?
Well, you got to remember, these are the same Jets fans that booed when Nick Mangold was selected and when Darrell Revis was picked. So,
it's almost like it's comical. It's like an automatic. I mean, Jeff Lagerman, they were allowed to boo some of the just classic horrible picks over the years.
I am looking forward to it. So, hey, we're gonna wrap up here because it's a short episode for me, and because I got places I got to be today. And this is our first, basically, this is our first roundtable as a group on the channel. I know we've done other simulcast, you know, like we're doing right now. It's a simulcast on Gridiron Japan, too. But this is the first Gridiron, I would say maybe Gridiron America Today, Gridiron Wide World. I don't know. We'll come up with something. But whatever we come up with will be in the show title by the time I post this episode. Any final thoughts before we wrap up and talk next week?
Yeah, I think, again, this is regarding the UFL. This is the halfway point. So this is make or break for just about every team. So it'll be really interesting over the next couple weeks just to see what happens. And again, as far as the NFL draft, again, I've got Fernando Mendoza number one, and whatever happens from there, it'll be fun to watch.
Okay. Dave?
Actually, I have a quick question for Mike. Do you see, or are you willing to predict any trades or any off the board picks in the first round? You have anything you're feeling that someone's going to go somewhere not expected?
I mean, that's the art of it. Happens every year. We've already witnessed a top 10 trade before the drafts even started. So definitely going to see some trades. And then that's like March Madness brackets. Bracket buster happens, and it's just, you're just enjoying it at that point. So I'm sure all of us will make these mock drafts, and a trade or two will just completely wreck everybody's mock drafts. But again, that's the beauty of it. I will just, without getting too much into the X's and O's, Ty Simpson from Alabama, he's graded as a second or third round pick by almost everyone. But again, New York, the Jets are sitting at 16, and there's a lot of hearsay that they're going to take a big chance on drafting Ty Simpson, more so out of urgency than anything else. So it's fun to watch, and we'll see what happens. But I'd say there's definitely going to be some trades.
Okay. Yeah, to me, the big thing, what I like about the draft is years later, everybody talks about the what ifs. I should have mentioned that, you know, just a little bit earlier. But yeah, to me, it's always about the what ifs. And in that vein, I'm getting ready to post here the beta test on our Sports History Network What If series. And for the first topic I have is what if the Dallas Cowboys gave the Houston Oilers a boatload of first and second round picks, and in 1978, in exchange, got to pick Earl Campbell number one. How the 1978 season would have progressed, and would that trade created a backfield, an unstoppable backfield, and would that trade have allowed the Cowboys instead of the Steelers to be the top, basically the top team of the 1970s? And I've run the simulation. I will be posting the results of the simulation, and the results were very interesting and enlightening and very surprising. So that's going to be coming up as we move along here on the podcast doing computer talking about computer sim, you know, plugging in the what ifs and trying best, you know, trying to generate a good argument, trying to generate some controversy, because obviously computer can't predict everything. And that's something as I did this simulation twice so far with those variables, you know, swapping out. It was very enlightening, and it's definitely something that we'll be doing more of here. And yeah, because again, we're about sports history. We like talking about it as much as what's going on in present day, because eventually what happens today, actually what happens this weekend by next week will be history. So on that note, thank you very much everybody for tuning in. And this is Greg with Dave and Mike and here at Gridiron America Radio. And we'll be talking to you next week. And please hit the like and subscribe button. If you're on Apple Podcast, you know, give us a review. 4 or 5 star would be nice to balance out at least a couple of the haters that we got, especially the 1 star review we got from one person in particular from way back when, who did not like our interview with Jeff Perlman of all people, because he was kind of ticked off. It got too political. I'm like, wait a minute. I think I'll, as much as I don't like getting a 1 star review, I'm like, okay, well, if we upset you that much talking about the USFL, then I'll take that 1 star review. But anybody else, if you're on Apple Podcasts, you know, please, you know, give us a like and subscribe, you know, 4 or 5, just be honest with your review. If you're going to give us a bad review, be honest and, you know, help us learn to be better, I guess. So, all right. With all that said, hey, thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. And guys, we'll be talking here after we end the podcast for our brief after show wrap up. And we'll be talking to you next week. Bye-bye.
This is Ralph Guglielmi of the Washington Redskins introducing Hail to the Redskins.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history. But as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.